Radio Boston, I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
Scott, don't bring us down! Scott, don't bring us down! Scott!
A couple hundred protesters chanted, "Scott Brown, don't bring masks down," outside the senator's Boston offices today. Brown has joined fellow Republicans in filibustering a bill that would bring about $500 million in extended unemployment benefits and Medicaid funding to Massachusetts. Senator Brown says he's not opposed to the funding, but says Congress hasn't yet figured out a way to pay for it. Protester Robert Bielum of Plymouth said the filibuster goes against Brown's pro-jobs campaign.
There's no jobs out there. How many jobs did he actually produce since he's been in office? I bet none. And he ran under that promise. Basically, Scott Brown's anti-worker.
But in spite of sentiments like that, new polling shows Scott Brown is as popular as ever in Massachusetts. So what do you make of it? Is the political landscape in Massachusetts really shifting? Is Scott Brown the most popular politician in the state? Is he the most popular politician in your eyes? Or are voters just discontent with the status quo but don't really know what they want? You can join us today at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. You can also find us online at WBUR.org/Boston. And joining me now with more on this new polling just put out by the Boston Globe and the University of New Hampshire is Boston Globe columnist Scott Lehi. Welcome back to Radio Boston, Scott.
Thanks for having me.
So, the big headline here is that Scott Brown is at the top of the heap regarding Massachusetts politicians. So walk us through these numbers. Exactly how popular is he according to this new poll?
Well, his numbers are pretty good in a very troubled and divisive time, I think. He was 55 favorable. And 18% unfavorable, and that's a very good rating, what they call a fave-unfave rating. John Kerry, who's always done pretty well in the state, 52 favorable, 37 unfavorable. That's, you get to see the difference there. I mean, but Brown doesn't have a huge favorable advantage over him, but he does have a fairly substantial fewer number of people who see him unfavorably. And, that's in part that's because you're new to public life and you haven't been scarred and battered the way, say, John Kerry has. But actually, Brown did better than Obama in Massachusetts, which is interesting.
Indeed, I see that President Obama gets a 54% favorable and a 41% unfavorable. So he's almost radioactive in Massachusetts right now. That may be too strong a term.
I wouldn't go that far. I mean, he's plus by more than 10 points, and he's got a majority of people who like him. But, this is an era where people either really like you or really don't like you, and you can see that there are a number of, or both, and you can see the number of people who really don't like him here. Now, this is a state where most voters, a plurality of voters, are independents now, unenrolled. Mm-hmm. So you see that Obama basically has the Democratic Party pretty much consolidated, but he's got some independents, but there are a lot of people skeptical of him too.
Scott, in this poll, I see a lot of sort of contradictory or complications in terms of what's truly in the heart of the Massachusetts voter. Take us into one of them, and you sort of touched on it briefly. For a man whose January victory was so earth-shaking here in Massachusetts, for him, 6 months later, Scott Brown to have just a low 18% unfavorable rating, does it tell you that he actually, whatever he's doing in Washington, it is sort of pleasing to all sides?
Honestly, I think it tells you a little more that people aren't they focus only over time on what a politician does. And I think that, I think Brown has done a reasonably good job of negotiating or navigating tricky cross currents here. But I also think that there haven't been a huge amount of super controversial votes, and I think maybe people haven't focused in as much as they otherwise might.
Mm-hmm. Part of the way that I see this is that there have been some big headlining bills that he's had to deal with, jobs, as we talked about, unemployment benefits. There was the national health care reform, and even the financial overhaul, which is still hasn't yet reached the finish line, but he was pretty key on that. And it seems like there are certain times where Scott Brown comes out and he is the independent Republican who breaks the GOP filibuster and he says, I want things to move forward. And this actually happened back in April with a previous unemployment benefit extension that was trying to be pushed through Capitol Hill. Let's hear a little bit about what he had to say regarding that. He's talking to CNN again about this earlier unemployment bill and as to why he voted to actually break a GOP filibuster and get this thing to a vote.
I think it's important to move the process along because when I came here, it's my opinion that, things are broken and there's a logjam here in, Capitol Hill, and it's my hope that I can help move things forward. So I'm going to do just that and, vote for cloture, which allows the process to move forward. But make no mistake, while people are hurting, the people who are paying the bills are also hurting, and we need to make sure we find a way to pay for this.
So, Scott Lehigh, Senator Brown goes on to actually not vote for that bill, and he didn't vote for this latest unemployment extension, a benefit extension here this month either. So do you see that as a way that he's kind of being successful in the eyes of Massachusetts voters?
Well, I think he plays that fairly shrewdly. Mm-hmm. Sometimes he votes to filibuster. Other times he says, hey, let's move things along when it's not as a matter of as big consequence. On the unemployment thing, he was supporting the filibuster of it this week's. So I think he has it a little bit both ways there. And my own feeling is it would be very smart for him to say, look, I am not going to be a reflexive filibuster vote unless something really, really matters to me. I will be someone voting to bring it to the floor. Then I may vote against it. He's done that some, but I think maybe and in a high profile way a couple times. But I believe he needs to do more personally.
Mm-hmm. Scott Lehigh. So what about these state level races? We've got so many of them going on here. The numbers between incumbent Democratic Governor Deval Patrick and his chief rival, Republican Charlie Baker, they're getting tighter.
Yeah, that's good for Baker, I think. 38-31, Patrick over Baker with Tim Cahill at 9. And you say, well, what's really happened there? One of the things that's happened clearly is that Tim Cahill, since our last poll, has faded from being a major contender to someone who was really more or less tied with these other guys to someone who is now in single digits. And you can attribute that, of course, largely to the Republican Governors Association ads, mm-hmm. negative ads that ran against him. But it is to Baker's advantage to have this become a two-person race, and certainly this poll indicates that it's on its way to becoming that kind of race. Now, I think it's going to be hard for Cahill to build back from single digits, even high single digits, to get the perception he's back in the race. And to the degree there's a perception that he's fading, and I think that's what it is, I think he will fade further. Not a lot of people say, hey, I want to waste my vote on someone who isn't within 20 points of the other candidate. So that works for Baker. That said, I think Patrick can look hopefully at this poll, too. It's not universally bad news. He can say, look, I am doing better than I was the last time the Globe poll, the time before the Globe poll. He's in the hunt, and he's leading the race. He's got his fave-unfave numbers are not terrific, and his job favorability numbers not terrific, but they're better than they were, better than they have been in our surveys. Now, they're not quite as good as they've been in other recent public polls, but you tend to compare poll to poll because otherwise it's apples to oranges. So it traced against the Globe poll baseline, and he can cite some real improvement there.
So Governor Patrick moving up over the past year, but Charlie Baker also seemingly moving with him. Last quick question to you, Scott Lehigh. When it comes to issues that were on the minds or on the forefront of voters' minds, what emerged out of this latest round of polling?
Well, there's a lot of right track, wrong track stuff, and more people obviously think things are heading in a wrong track. You've got people obviously very worried about jobs and the economy to some degree. When you mention it, they're worried about illegal immigration nationally, although not necessarily it's something they themselves bring up. So it's one of the, it's always like this, I think, in a time of real a bad economy that economic issues pretty much move to the forefront.
Well, that's Scott Lehigh. He's a columnist for the Boston Globe, walking us through the latest round of very interesting numbers regarding what's on the mind of the Massachusetts voter. It was out in the Globe today in a joint poll with the University of New Hampshire. Scott Lehigh, thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
We've got some comments on our website, wbur.org/Boston. Claudine says, who was called in this survey? His, Scott Brown's vote on the unemployment bill and his reasoning for a no vote against the financial reform bill reveal that he is Republican first and a representative from Massachusetts second. Mickey, also on the website, says, have you ever looked at his Facebook page? There is a small army of folks who elected him who berate him daily as a liberal pansy. So maybe some internal conflict there that Mickey's pointing out on our website, wbur.org/Boston. Let's go to another pair of folks who've been looking at these numbers, a pair of state and Democratic Party insiders. George Bacharach is a Democratic activist and a president, and the president, I should say, of the Environmental League of Massachusetts. He's also a former state senator and a former candidate for Congress and the governorship, so he knows the rough and tumble of a race in Massachusetts. George Bacharach, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Happy to be with you.
Also with us is Jim Rappaport. He's a Republican activist and chairman of the New Boston Fund, a real estate investment firm. He's also a former chairman of the Massachusetts Republican Party and a former candidate as well for United States Senate and Lieutenant Governor. Jim Rappaport, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thanks for having me. Hi, George.
Hi, Jim.
Jim Rappaport, let me briefly start with you. Let's just sort of hone in on the governor's race where we left off with Scott Lehigh. What do you, from your perspective, do you feel that the fact that Charlie Baker seems to be gaining ground over Governor Patrick is a sign of some sort of long-term shift in where the minds of Massachusetts voters are headed?
Yeah, but I think first you have to start with Cahill. I think that this poll is, I try to remind people that independents, unless they're icons in their state, never do well, and he is fulfilling all of that promise. I mean, his 17% or whatever he was at months ago was completely false, and frankly, his 9% is high, and it will end up being 3, 4, 5%. So it will be a two-person race, and that is helpful to Charlie Baker. It is. I agree with what Scott said, is that it'll be very hard for Cahill to gain some traction. I know he's everywhere. I hear from people that he's all over the state, but I just don't think it will make a difference.
Sorry, Jim, just to get George Bacharach's thought on this. Yep. So if Tim Cahill's fading into obscurity, is that actually perhaps bad news for Deval Patrick because he wants a third man in there to maybe siphon votes away from Charlie Baker?
Well, this is a tough year for any incumbent. Democratic incumbents, Republican incumbents are all faring badly in the polls, struggling. And so if you're an incumbent and you're being challenged, you just soon have two challengers splitting up the anti-government vote. And so Cahill's declining numbers is good for Charlie Baker and not so good for Governor Patrick. On the other hand, you know, Charlie Baker just spent, he and the Republican Governors Committee just spent a couple $1 million bashing Tim Cahill to try and blow him out of the race, while Tim Cahill is still sitting on $3+ million that he hasn't spent yet.
But if he spends that as late as September, October, isn't that potentially too late?
Well, you know, I agree that that he's not necessarily going to win this race. But if he runs a tough campaign and particularly runs ads targeting Charlie Baker, who he is now no great friend of, he can help define Charlie Baker in a fairly negative way. Charlie Baker has an extensive record. He's a very smart, very good, very capable guy in many ways. But he is one of those people that was responsible for the big dig and its debt.
Oh, George, don't go there.
Jim Rappaport, I hear you want to get in there. We've got to take a quick break here, and I absolutely will come back to you after the break. So just hold that thought, because I don't want you to lose that fire. That's Jim Rappaport. He's a Republican activist and chairman of the New Boston Fund, a real estate investment firm. We're also joined today by George Bacharach, former Democratic state senator and currently president of the Environment League of Massachusetts. You can join us as well. We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. We're talking about what's inside the mind of the Massachusetts voter and what that means for the election of 2010. Also, a little later this hour,
my Yiddish mom, I need her more than ever now.
Sophie Tucker, the new Repertory Theater, introduces us to the woman behind that voice. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston. We'll be right back. This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. We're talking about a new round of very interesting polling that's just out this week about what lies inside the minds of the Massachusetts voter. It's a complicated picture, and what it tells us about the races in this year's gubernatorial, state, and local elections. I'm joined by Jim Rappaport. He's a Republican activist and chairman of the New Boston Fund, a real estate investment firm, also former head of the Massachusetts GOP. And also we're joined by George Bacharach. He's a former state Democratic state state senator. He ran for Congress and the governorship, and he's currently the president of the Environment League of Massachusetts. Jim Rappaport, you tried to get a word in there before the break, and I had to very rudely cut you off. But your thoughts on what George Bacharach brought up?
Yeah, I mean, that's such an old canard. That's a falsehood to try to wrap Big Dig around Charlie Baker. And they're going to try to do it, but this race is about tomorrow. It's not about yesterday. And frankly, he didn't have anything or very much to do with it. I can tell you I was in meetings where the Big Dig was discussed back in the 90s, and Charlie was there, and he was saying, we've got to pay for this thing. We've got to get the cost under. I mean, he was on the right side of this issue.
Well, Jim, let me ask you a question about this race being about tomorrow, because one of the things that I found particularly eye-opening in this poll is that when it comes to Charlie Baker's favorability ratings, 20% of voters said he was favorable, 20% said unfavorable, but a whopping 45 said they didn't even know him well enough to have any sort of opinion.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, is that Charlie's biggest issue right now is that he's got to become better known. And the fact that he is doing as well in the polling as he is with not being as well known as he should be or will ultimately be is actually bad news for Deval. Deval's known entity. People don't like what he's done. He hasn't been, frankly, a very competent governor and hasn't done much to bring spending under control. Everybody else is doing it in their own households, except for state government and except for pensions. And and all of it goes on and on and on.
I want to get a bunch of calls in here, but let's get just a quick response from George Bacharach on Governor Patrick having the albatross of his own record on his neck now.
Well, I'm not quite sure I know which state my friend Jim Rappaport is actually living in these days, but here in Massachusetts, we have a governor who has gone through one of the hardest, toughest economic collapses imaginable, a national economic meltdown, and Massachusetts is actually coming out of it faster than virtually any other state, I think third in the nation. And this is a governor who, unlike his 16 years worth of Republican predecessors, actually passed a major pension reform package, a transportation reform package that consolidated a myriad of agencies that were costing us too much money. A governor,
Let me just finish my comment, Jim.
And who passed a ethics and lobbying reform package that no Republican governor wanted to touch. This is a governor who has a huge record of achievement, but because people are hurting, because the economy is bad, every incumbent is suffering. But finally, they're going to turn to the record and see that this governor has done more than 16 years worth of departing Republican governors did.
Well, if I can just have both of you stand by, let's ask some actual voters what they think about all of this. Greg's calling from Sagamore Beach on the Cape. Welcome to Radio Boston, Greg.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I love your show. Just a couple of comments. One, I'm a Democrat, a 46-year-old male, and while I didn't vote for Scott Brown, I do have to say that I like his positions, particularly on the issue of the unemployment benefits. And, while I feel for people who are unemployed, what I like about Scott Brown is he takes the position of takes a point of view that the Congress needs to figure out how to pay for these things. And that's primarily why I'm very, very interested in following Scott Brown closely and supporting him, because I like the idea of fiscal, tough fiscal calls being made to slow down the rate of spending and to get the fiscal crisis that the country is facing under control. So, like I said, I'm a Democrat, not a Republican, but I support him to that extent, and I really, really wish him well.
Greg, thanks so much for your call. Steve's on the line from Cambridge. Welcome to Radio Boston, Steve.
Thank you for taking my call. From my point of view, I think there are two implications from the polling data. Anyone who votes against the extension of unemployment benefits and votes against $500 to $600 million of funds for Massachusetts in a fiscal crisis really reveals to me a total lack of compassion and concern for ordinary people's lives. And I have to say that from my point of view, this reveals a typically Republican distance from emotional distance from how people actually live. There must be some people who count themselves as having a favorable view of Senator Brown who are not taking this into account.
Steve, let's actually take both of these issues up that you and Greg brought up. Thank you so much for your call, because I think these two callers really reflect this complication that we see in the polling numbers. And Jim Rappaport, let me just ask you quickly. So here we have a Democrat who supports Scott Brown, and then we also have a Democrat who says doesn't like the lack of compassion that he sees. So if I can put it under this bigger umbrella of this sense is, do we have the poll revealed this maybe anti-incumbent mood? And eventually Scott Brown himself will be an incumbent in 2012, and he will have a voting record. So what's your take on that in terms of what's happening here in the state?
Well, if he does keep voting the way he is, and he is an independent Republican, and he frankly has to be, to one, I've known Scott a long time, and that's his nature anyway. He calls him as he sees him. And, I think the critical point here is, as an incumbent, is that what he's got to do is keep voting. Because, he talks about compassion. How about compassion for our children and grandchildren? We're bankrupting them with all of this spending. And how about the reality that, yes, it may seem compassionate to say we need to extend the unemployment benefits, but in the reality is that it's been clearly shown to that it's not effective. That people aren't it's easier not to have to take a job that might be out there if you're getting unemployment.
Let me throw the last question here to George Bachrach, who just got a minute to go. George, the other thing regarding this anti-incumbency is that 50% of the voters in this poll said they wanted a new crop of politicians. But when it comes to their own districts, 9 out of the 10 of them in Massachusetts, 9 out of the 10 congressional districts, 42% said they'd vote for the seated Democrat, the only open one being the one where Bill Delahunt will not be running again. So what's your sense as to really do we want a new crop of politicians in Massachusetts or not?
Well, it does seem like an internal conflict. I think the reality is that we have a congressional delegation that is very senior and very productive. Barney Frank chairs the Financial Services Committee. Ed Markey chairs the Energy and Communications work in Congress. So it's powerful, and it brings a lot of benefits back to Massachusetts. But I think on the whole, the public is very concerned. And, whether it's the economy or healthcare, education, they're worried the government is not really delivering. And so there is an anti-incumbent mood. There is the notion that we need a new crop. I frankly think here in Massachusetts, a competitive two-party system is a good idea. But I do think you have candidates like Charlie Baker, who is smarter than this campaign would suggest.
Mm-hmm.
Charlie Baker is a very thoughtful, decent guy who took a right-hand turn because he needed to grab the Tea Party vote away from Tim Cahill. So he starts talking about things like rolling back the sales tax from 6.25% to 5%.
Well, George Bachrach,
popular it is.
George Bachrach, on that note, I'm sorry to cut you off, but we're going to have to take a turn into our next segment. And based on what I've heard here today, this is going to be a much more exciting 2010 race than maybe most of us thought just a couple weeks ago. George Bachrach, former Democratic state senator and current president of the Environment League of Massachusetts, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you.
And Jim Rappaport, Republican activist, former head of the Massachusetts GOP and current chairman of the New Boston Fund. Such a pleasure to have you as well.
Thank you very much. Always fun to be with George.